About a year ago, I remember the sudden excitement in the crop circle community about the measuring of electrostatic charges. I remember that suddenly that was the answer. We were going to be able to separate the real, true crop circles from the man-made baloney. And that was going to be our savior in doing that. Well, maybe not then, is the answer, I guess. According to what you just said, Doctor, is that right? In other words, electrostatic measurement is not going to be the key to judging the reality. The origin of a crop circle, man's hand or not.
No, I think that's right, Art. I don't think you can easily tell the origin of a crop formation. I think it's been assumed in the research community that if you get weird effects around a crop circle, it had to have a very weird cause. And I think what we're learning now is that the crop circle itself, just the shape in a living material, actually has effects on the surrounding field and in the crop circle that produce weird effects, but it doesn't necessarily mean that something strange had to come down into the field to do that. It's just that the circle itself, well, I think it acts like a, you know, like a crystal radio. Did you play with those when you were a kid? The radios have a crystal in it, and you don't need a battery. It just seems to operate, you know, with just the power of the radio wave coming through the crystal.
You know I did, Simeon.
Yeah, I bet you did. And,
listen, so let's get down to cases. Crop circles.
Sure.
How many crop circles are, without question, not man-made?
We have to talk about the time period. I think before the 90s, I think a large percentage of them were non-man-made. You know, they go back in history thousands of years, and they're, you know, references in the Dead Sea Scrolls to strange lights in the field and
sure.
strange markings. And
sure.
The mowing devil in the 1600s in England. And even in our own century, the Tully saucer nests in Australia, and they also had them in New Zealand at the same time. I've spoken to people that have had friends that have seen UFOs in the vicinity where crop circles were found the next day, swirled
right.
areas of,
right.
of grass and wheat. And, you know, there's a wonderful book that documents this, the Secret History of Crop Circles. And it talks about all the pre-modern crop circles, which are really interesting. Most of these, though, I want to point out, are simple circles or groups of circles. They're not the elaborate patterns that we tend to see today.
Yes, but without question, Doctor, I'm just a layman, but I've watched crop circles very carefully, and in my estimation, there have been a few that it would have been completely, totally impossible for man to have made. I mean, I know of no other way to put it. You look at them, and there's just no blinking way.
I would have thought the same thing several years ago.
And now you don't.
I don't. I have met the human circle makers. In Opening Minds, I document how I saw them make a circle at night. They are they operate with a military precision that you would not believe.
Do you now believe that all crop circles are man-made?
No, no. I think there are some that are not made by people. But I believe, and I'm not alone in this, I mean, I believe that the elaborate artistic ones that we enjoy looking at so much, the big elaborate artistic ones,
yes.
are the work of human circle-making artists. They're not hoaxes. These are people that believe in what they call natural magic. They believe in subtle energies one way or another because they believe that if they go out and make a crop circle like that, it will create magic that all of us can enjoy together. It creates it while they are making the circle. They see balls of light and UFOs and have strange experiences. They see shadow people when they're in the crop circles making them. They have strange experiences with time change. Either the group that I was with in the Cheryl Formation, which I document in Opening Minds, the Cheryl 2000 Formation, they apparently gained about 45 minutes of time. They all seemed to experience this. I wasn't wearing a watch, so I can't verify, but they believe this happened. It's not uncommon, and this is what keeps them doing this. And they make it because they believe that people who come into the circles later will have magical experiences, and this is good for us to experience. So, yes, the answer to your question is, there was a time when I didn't believe humans could do it either, because I have heard all the evidence, many of the evidence from your show and other places, that architectural firms had, you know, they said it would take them 4 days in the daytime to do this. You're familiar with all those stories.
I am, Simeon, and so how could man have done some of these? I mean, they're so intricate, so large, so massive. The simple scale of them would preclude anything but an army of well-trained people from doing them.
You know, These people have been working on these for about 10 years. There are at least about 10 groups in England that are working throughout the summer to make these. You can see them on documentary. Some of them are interviewed on Larry Newman's new documentary, Circle Speak, which we should all get a hold of. It's a very balanced presentation of the whole phenomenon. You will hear interviews with circle makers, Circle Speak. It's a new video about it. And I have no connection to this. I just think it's a good presentation. I didn't think it was possible for them to do this until I saw them work at night. And believe me, Art, the wheat goes down very quickly with those stomper boards. And after 10 years of practice, they have gotten very, very good. If you'll notice, early on in the crop circle season, the circles will be relatively simple, and they get more complex towards August.
They're
practicing, and they're learning, and by the summer, after the winter, you know, they're a little rusty, they get better, and I'm totally convinced now that the big complicated ones, all of them, I believe, are made by human circle-making teams.
And only the simple ones.
Ironically, the simple ones seem to be still the work of some other unknown force. And the circle makers that I know have said, Simeon, before the 1990s, before the Doug and Dave era, you know, the two guys from the pub, they were actually artists. They were, I think they had some pretty decent motivations for doing it. They weren't really hoaxing. They were interested in making art. But nonetheless, they said, we don't know who was making them in the early 80s. What could have been extraterrestrials? And I believe that crop circles are a language that were taught to us by extraterrestrials or some other type of intelligence to encourage people eventually to learn how to do this.
But, Doctor, let's talk about the scale, please. Yep. I've looked at some of these, and over 10 acres, for example, I mean, just monstrous things that are so intricate, no footprints around. I want to know how they do it without a trace.
In England, you have an advantage because there are these so-called tram lines, the lines that the tractors use to go down to the field.
Yes.
We don't have them in the United States, but these tram lines allow you to enter into the field without actually walking on the wheat. You can walk down the tram lines, and you'll notice many crop formations are positioned along the tram lines. Now, researchers have said, well, that was the greater intelligence positioning those circles just in the right way to the tram lines. It's really the way the circle makers get into the fields without leaving footprints. If you want a larger circle, you just get more and more people. You remember the big one from Mill Hill 2001, the mother of all crop circles.
I surely do.
I don't want to disillusion people. I believe these circles are still real, as I've said, no matter who makes them. They have these strange effects, and we can talk about that in a moment. But that particular circle was made by between 10 and 15 people. They were up high on a hill, on the downs, as they say in England, which is actually a hill in our language. They probably had about 8 hours to work, and they don't care if it's raining, to be honest. They're going to do that circle anyway. It's very wet and cold no matter what the weather conditions are in the summer there. And they believe in these enough. They're that motivated, let me put it that way, that they will go out and make those circles. And even though to our eyes it looks impossible, so does the Sistine Chapel, you know.
What about
and lots
the work
of other amazing...
All right, what about the work of Dr. Levengood?
Yes.
In other words, the molecular changes in the stalks, and the stalks not breaking as one continually demonstrates they would with the board effect. I mean, these things are just laid down. They're not broken, and then we have detectable molecular changes. How do they do that?
Well, W.C. Levengood, I think we found out recently that he isn't actually a doctor. He's a research scientist.
So. Okay.
Levengood. The flaw in that line of research, as far as I'm concerned, is that it makes an assumption that if you get molecular changes to the plant, there had to be some sort of energy beaming itself into the plant to do that, right? Because if we put those plants in a microwave oven and we microwave them, we're going to get the same results.
Bingo.
But it's also possible, and I think this has to be tested as another possibility, that once you make the crop formation, that different energies are going to be operating in that field. And again, this is consistent with what we know from subtle energy science, with the science of a conditioned space, as it's called. The energy patterns change. It could perhaps be due to the electrostatic charges or some other types of energy that we don't know. But when you have that shape in the field, the plants begin to change. I actually have pictures right now up on the Opening Minds website of a formation we made last summer in the Cherhill area of England, where we paid the farmer, went and made the formation, and we got bent nodes. And I have pictures of those bent nodes up on the website, and you can see them. I went back the next day, and they were already there. what that's caused by is the plant trying to kind of raise itself up into a vertical position again.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things about plants that I don't think we understand, and I think to make the arguments that the BLT team has made, you need to have the proper controls in place. It's very simple to do that, Art. You just need to make a lot of man-made circles, preferably around the same time in the same area where you find the other ones,
yes.
And honestly, test those plants too. I'm not talking about one or two man-made formations. I'm talking like a good sample size, like 30, like we're trying to do. Make a lot of them. And then compare the results and just see for yourself. Are they really different or are they the same from the ones that we don't really know the authorship? Another thing that happens in plants are what are called heat shock proteins. When you put a plant into stress, different types of proteins are produced to try to help the plant through that stress. And those have a very strong effect on the plant. Those sorts of chemicals could also affect the molecular structure.
Okay, so you're saying no matter man-made, alien-made, earth environment-made, whatever causes this to happen, is perhaps not even important. What is important is the effect that's created when they're made.
Yes. I have seen personally, and I'm a skeptical person like you are, but I have seen so many weird things around crop circles, Art. I know they're real.
Fine. Let's hear about them. What have you seen around crop circles, man-made or otherwise?
Okay. Let's go back to 1999, when we were just learning that humans could even make some of this. And I didn't believe it back in 99, but I learned about it in 2000. We visited a formation called the Devil's Den Formation. People that are familiar with crop circles will know this formation. It happened near a dolmen that's called, you know, the Devil's Den because Christians named it that way. It was a pagan, a Celtic burial mound.
Yeah.
I went in there. I was actually with Maso Maki, the crop circle researcher from Japan. All of our batteries failed at the same time.
Oh,
and
yes.
Everyone who came into that formation, their batteries all failed, and I got it on videotape before my camcorder batteries failed. In total, I know of at least 5 sets of batteries that failed in that formation, and I this is the most amazing thing. I mean, someone went to Mallory Battery Factory, and they said, what could do this, okay?
And what did they say?
The only thing that they knew about that could cause batteries to fail like that was nuclear radiation.
Nuclear radiation.
But there isn't any nuclear radiation in crop circles. People have gone in with Geiger counters time and time again. And as far as I know, I mean, someone can correct me, I don't think anyone's found any nuclear radiation. It's some sort of other effect. And again, I want to suggest it could be an electrostatic effect or the subtle energy effect. I've seen that happen with my own eyes. And when you see everyone's devices that are brand new, and again, those pictures are on my website, the Opening Minds website also. You can see the pictures of the batteries that just failed. The Devil's Den Formation. When you see that with your own eyes, you'll know that crop circles are real. Now, we later found out about 2 years later who the author of that particular circle was, with a very reasonable degree of certainty. Because after a while, you get to know all of these different teams. If you're considered trustworthy, they'll all begin to talk to you.
So there is nothing about, for example, an electrostatic charge being able to do what you just talked about, killing batteries.
No, I know. So what could be doing it? There is another energy in crop formations. Let me just tell you something about when this happened. The startling thing to me was that my batteries failed in my static electricity measuring device and in my camcorders. I'm talking at the edge of the circle, Art. I mean, literally the edge. It's talking something 200 feet, and you just crossed into it, you know, just over the edge of where the weed is still standing, where it's pushed down.
Yes.
And blip, all the batteries are gone. It's like there's a wall of energy there. And it's real enough to affect your equipment, and you know, you can feel it too. Sometimes people are in there and they say, I really feel charged.
Yeah.
Or that sometimes they make you feel kind of sick. And dowsers will go in there and their dowsing rods will start moving around. And the most amazing thing to me was in this Devil's Den formation, a dowser came in, and where she got the largest change in her dowsing rods was exactly where I had measured the largest static charge. Believe it or not, it's in the smallest circles, not in the biggest ones where you get that big charge change. Now, again, I don't know if you're suggesting that the electrostatic charge can't affect the batteries, and I don't know enough about, you know, about the science of charges, but something else
I don't either. I just, you know, normal common sense tells me an electrostatic charge in the air, no, wouldn't affect a battery's charge. I don't see how. Anyway, what else has happened within these circles?
What people have seen a lot, and you've heard about this, of course, and the listeners, Coast listeners have heard about this, the balls of light. These are actually seen while people are making crop formations.
That's right. And now, you're telling me that in the man-made formations, the crop circle makers are doing this to bring on exactly this kind of phenomena. So
yes.
They want to see these balls of light.
Yes. They want to see the balls of light, the UFOs, whatever else happens to come in. And to be honest, the results sometimes terrify them.
There was a scientist who recently determined that a ball of plasma balls, can exist in the atmosphere and appear to be, for reasons inexplicable to them, energy sustaining. In other words, they continue to generate enough energy to keep this plasma ball going. You know, it should dissipate, it should go away or explode or do something, but instead it keeps going. Now, where is that energy coming from to sustain these plasma balls, which might explain lights? I don't know.
It's a great question. We don't really know.
Yeah, they
seem to be intelligently controlled. You've seen the videos.
I have, actually, yes. And for those who haven't, explain what it looks like.
Typically, and there's about 12 good videos that I think are the real thing that tourists and other people have taken, just happen to be around those areas of where the crop circles are. Something will come over the hill, and it will move right towards the crop formation. Mm-hmm. It will speed up. It will slow down. It will make right-angle turns.
Mm-hmm.
In one case, a video that was taken by Steve Alexander, I think back in 1990 or 91, it actually went from one crop circle over to another crop circle about a half mile away. I measured the speed of one of these near Barbary Castle from 1999. There's a pretty famous video from that one. The thing was moving nearly 200 miles an hour once it started to speed up. Now, no birds fly that fast unless some of them when they're, you know, direct dive, but nothing moves that fast that I know right above the wheat. It looks like it's intelligently controlled, and I'm confident it's either a life form that we don't understand or it's someone's probe to investigate these crop formations. Because they're intelligently controlled, and yet they're being attracted to man-made formations as well as the other type also.
Huh.
So
do you believe they are a product of them, or the formations, that is, and these lights are a product of the formations, or they are simply a phenomena observing the fact that one of these has been made? In other words, by making one of them, we have attracted someone's attention. Which do you think it is?
I think it's the latter.
Oh, you really do?
Absolutely. In the videos, they come over the hill. I mean, they come from out of nowhere. And, you know, in the Steve Alexander video, there, you know, right before he started filming, he said it actually went into the formation and it was like exploring it, like right down in the wheat. It disappeared for a few seconds and then it popped out again. And then it goes to another formation. And then it's seen passing over a tractor. And the tractor stalled. The tractor driver saw it. And he said it looked like a large, luminous beach ball. Now, he is driving a diesel tractor. They don't have much electrical stuff going on in them at all. There's not much electronics in the diesel tractor, but it stalled anyway, and then it just started again. You can see it on the video. You can see the tractor stopping, and then it starts up. They have an electrical property that can affect equipment, and they also, I mean, they look intelligently controlled. And so I don't think that the crop circle is creating them. I think the crop circle is attracting them. There are other cases where circle makers have told me they went into a crop formation, they started to make one, and balls of light showed up, and they actually ran out of there.
Meaningful investigation of crop circles, and so therefore he's certainly worth listening to, and he's made some, I think, very serious discoveries that we've got to think a lot about, that man-made circles exhibit the same anomalous effects as those made by, well, we know not who, right? But the same measurable anomalous effects. Dr. Hine, how long do we know, or do we know how long these effects remain within the created circles? Are they active forever? Do they fade as the circle gets older? Do we know anything about that?
Yeah, that's a very good question. It seems from our research that the effects do fade away as the circle gets older, and of course, eventually it's harvested. Formation that I referred to before, the Devil's Den Formation of 1999, I actually went back to England in October of that year. The formation had already been harvested. The whole field had been harvested.
Mm-hmm.
It had not been replanted yet. I went back to that spot with the same equipment I originally had from that July, previous July, and there was no effect on the static meter anymore. There was no effect on my camcorder. There was nothing happening.
Now, you get really high marks, in my opinion, for doing all of this. What's driving you to do all of this?
When you spend 27 years in school, from kindergarten to PhD, the only reason you would do that is because you have a love of the truth. You really need to know the answers. And some of us who study this area of crop circles were just so fascinated by it, we just have to know what's going on. And I just feel driven to find out what is really happening here. It's one thing to listen to people talk about it, but
yes,
you need to verify it with your own experience and,
yes,
and your own data.
Yes.
And that's what we do. We really want to test these things because we believe crop circles are real. That's why we do this. We know they're real. It isn't a question of man-made or hoaxed,
okay,
or real.
The element of time, right. The element of time, Doctor, of missing time or of time in some manner shifting so that our perception is, well, it's almost like it's almost like time travel in a way, Doctor. It's missing time. And what do you suppose there could be about such a field that we're talking about created that would enter into that aspect of things, to warp time or to change time or to change our perception of time, whatever?
Yeah, I mean, there is something very strange going on in those fields. I haven't experienced the time travel myself, but my colleague Ron Russell told me a very interesting story where he went to, ostensibly just to go get to the car back to get a flashlight or something, and he seemed to be gone in his own time for like 3 hours,
uh-huh,
and then met a group of people speaking ancient English,
oh,
around a campfire.
Oh?
They didn't even seem to belong. He couldn't barely understand what they were saying. It seemed all wrong, like something out of a totally different time period, like 1,000 years ago.
Like he went through another dimension.
Exactly. And when he got back to the circle, he wanted to show. He said, look, what, you know, I found something coming. And he, from their point of view, he'd only been gone 5 minutes or something like that. From his point of view, it seemed like he'd been gone for an hour. And then when he tried to go find the campfire and everything again, he couldn't find it, and the car was right next to him the whole time. It was a very strange experience, and other researchers have reported the similar types of experiences where a friend of theirs went back into the circle, and from their point of view in the car waiting for them, it seemed like hours, yet for the person in the circle, it maybe it seemed like 10 minutes. And that seems like time is getting dilated or warped in some way, which, it, by the way, is consistent with relativity theory. Special relativity theory, that time can be different from different points of view. And so I'm not sure exactly what accounts for it, but it does seem that may be happening. Some experiments I've heard of that have been done with watches is that if you take two very good quality watches and you leave one in the circle and leave one outside, that sometimes you can see a noticeable change where there shouldn't be any. So,
have you actually seen that?
I haven't seen that. And again, like most of these stories, I'd really like to see it for myself, but it's certainly a possibility, and certainly with these people's experience.
Doesn't all of this just scream for the creation of an electrostatic field in the shape of some crop circle in a laboratory environment and then testing inside? Now, maybe, as you point out, maybe there's something more to it than just the electrostatic field, but maybe not.
Well, can I suggest what that could be?
Let her rip.
Yeah. There is an area that we haven't talked about yet.
All right.
Which I know you're very interested in. It's human intention.
Oh, yes.
We were talking about this at the very beginning of the show, and of course you talked, it was on last night with Dr. Franks, the same sort of discussion. It's coast to coast, you know, it's talked about all the time. How does human consciousness affect reality?
Yes.
Okay. Subtle energy sciences has documented evidence that people's thoughts affect physical reality. The documentation is in the form of very subtle temperature changes and the reproduction rates of fruit flies and things of this nature. If you have two objects and you have a group of meditators meditate on one of those objects that are structurally identical, you take the object that was meditated upon and put it next to fruit flies or water or other types of processes, and you measure the processes going on there. They will be different from the controlled object that was not meditated upon. And this has been documented many times by Dr. William Tiller. What he calls it an area that's in an, around a space that has an object in it that people have focused on, a conditioned space. Now, the human circle makers that I know, and this is a very well-kept secret, they actually say prayers before they make their circles. And I'm told that most of the groups do this. About 90% of the circle-making groups, they say prayers and incantations.
Wow. Wait a minute. And incantations.
Yes.
Like slow a magical, up there.
Yes.
Prayers, okay.
It's more like incantations and intentions are set.
What sort of incantations?
The ones that I've been around in the circles that I've seen made at night. They are incantations for planetary evolution, planetary healing, magic, and positive things. This is, we're not talking about black magic here. We're talking about positive intentions that... And basically, the prayer will go something like this, that may everyone who enter this circle experience some sort of magic in their lives. Now, we know from the research of Dr. Larry Dossey and other people about the effects of prayer and intention, that it does affect people's ability to heal. And I suspect it has an effect on the plants in that space, because the plants are still alive when the circle is made. And so this is another element I want to add to the equation beyond the electrostatic charge, is the human intention, that this could have a lot to do with the effects of the circles. Because you don't only have the human circle makers, you have some sort of interaction with the intelligence of the plants. And just like a colony of ants, a single ant doesn't have a lot of neurons in it. If you take the whole ant colony, it can act intelligently. I suspect a whole field of wheat can do something in a similar way. It's just a possibility. But
well, all right. Is that all it is? Is a possibility. You're pretty far out on a limb when you start saying then there's some interaction between the people's intentions and the lives of these plants. You're pretty far out on a limb when you say that. The electrostatic field part I can buy, and I guess I can understand, and I would urge more experimentation. But when you start talking about, I don't know, some kind of interaction with the plants, that's...
Well, Art...
Is that just conjecture?
No. You know the work of Clive Baxter.
Yes, oh, I do.
The Secret Lives of Plants.
Yes, of course.
I've seen the documentation from that at some of these remote viewing conferences, where they pulled out the whole data sheet that was printed out by these different machines that were measuring these plants' response in relationship, or the cells that they take from someone's, T cells, and they will do something to the other T cells and see these T cells in another room react from the cells are from the same person.
Right.
Well, this data, I'm just saying, it suggests, and when you're being scientific, you want to be open to all the different possibilities. It suggests that living things have an awareness of one another, and that intention really does matter. I think Clive Baxter's data suggests that plants have an awareness and intelligence that perhaps conventional science hasn't fully recognized. And I think it's possible, again, we certainly need to do more, experiments, but it's possible the plants are reacting to the intention of the humans making the formation.
Huh.
They may even enjoy being made into a crop circle. I mean, they're going to get eaten anyway in a couple of weeks. You might as well become a crop circle on your way to the cereal plant. I mean, hey,
well,
I don't know. It's a possibility. Because, Art, seriously, the data suggests from all of this study, and it's being done at Duke University right now with the Mitchell-Krukoff study, of the effect of prayer on healing. And this is another type of prayer, perhaps, but it's real. And it's a subtle energy effect, and I think it could be responsible for some of the effects that we see. It's certainly just one possibility.
I was just laughing at the prospect of plants enjoying being made into a circle. Yeah, sure, I know I'm toast in a couple of weeks, and I'm going to go by the tractor, so go ahead, plow me down, make me magic.
Well, why not?
But on the other hand, I know the work that Clive did. You might as well take a second and explain to some of the audience out there what he demonstrated. It is awfully important. I mean, you've got to consider these experiments. It'll set you thinking all night long, folks. I mean, listen to this. Explain what Clive proved.
Well, the experiments I'm familiar with are where, various sensitive measuring devices were hooked up to plants. And in some cases, the plants could sense that another plant was being, destroyed in another room.
Yes.
And when that person came into the room, the plant killer, the plants would react, or they did experiments with yogurt. they took two different, you know, common culture from a single, you know, yogurt tub, and they separated them into different petri dishes.
Yes.
They put them in different rooms, and they do something to one sample of yogurt, and the other yogurt reacts, believe it or not. Or the T cells from taken from a sample in your mouth,
yes,
they'll take them into separate rooms, and they will do one thing to the first set of T cells, and the other T cells will react the same way as the first set of T cells. Now, what this is called in biology is entrainment, and we know that living systems can become entrained to one another.
Or is it entanglement?
Well, of course, exactly. That's the other possibility. You know, it's quantum entanglement.
Yes.
They are at a quantum level, subatomically linked. And of course, this is what quantum mechanics says is possible. I don't know what actually accounts for it. Some people want to argue it's a quantum effect, and other people William Tiller wanted to argue that it's just an extension of classical electromagnetics, but he calls it magnetoelectrics because it seems to suggest particles moving faster than the speed of light, just an extension of existing physics. But no matter what you think the cause is, something's going on, and it's interesting to think about the possibilities.
Human intention or external from human intention? Completely external from human intention.
I think that the human intention has an effect, and even the Cleve Baxter's experiments show that the plants have their own intelligence independent of the intention. So if you put all that together, you're getting a lot of interaction going on one way or another.
Boy, I'll say.
Yeah.
Where does your research go from here? In other words, what do you do next with regard to crop circles in trying to figure out the nature of the field that's being created?
You know, at the Institute for Resonance, we go to England every summer to work with the farm. We pay the farmers to use their fields, and we make crop formations. We want to find out the variables that are responsible for producing the strange effects that we see. And the real thing is to find out, what exactly is it that creates these strange effects in the crop formations? Is it something that we can narrow down? Is it a particular shape, a particular frequency? You're familiar with the area of physics called cymatics, that shapes can create sounds. And
no.
Well, this is something that actually I think they discovered about 100 years ago, is that if you take, you know, like a pile of sand on a metal plate and you broadcast sound into the plate,
yes,
these sand grains will spontaneously form into a coherent pattern. And as you change the notes that you're broadcasting into the metal plate, the sand grains will rearrange themselves into different shapes right before your eyes, coherently. It's almost like magic. But it's some sort of principle of physics where energy in the form of sound is converted into a shape. Now, the other possibility is also true, that the shapes themselves generate infrasound. You can't actually hear it, but that any shape, actually, if there's some sort of energy around it, will generate a sound.
So you're going to go look for sound.
Sound is certainly one possibility to look for. It's almost like these crop circles can be tuned to a specific frequency by virtue of the shape.
Huh.
And if we find out which particular shapes generate those effects, we could create our own formations, perhaps even in your own garden or on a small scale, you know, not necessarily on a large scale, but something that we could reduce to a more manageable size that the average person could engage in.
Once again,
what the effects are.
I ask, how do we even know we have to have plants?
I think, you know, I know that you've been suggesting from the beginning of the show that maybe we don't, and that's possible. You know, maybe we don't need the plants. Where I've seen these things happen have happened in plants. I think it's like a living material art. It's like a crystalline lattice work.
It's just that
I think you need the lattice work.
But there aren't too many things that we know for sure. One of the things we seem to now know for sure is there's an electrostatic field that's created, whether it's by aliens or men, doesn't matter. When it's done, there it is, an electrostatic field. We know that's so, right?
Yes. Here's the thing. Most circles will show this, but some of them won't. Now, why do some of the circles show this electrostatic differential, I would call it?
Yes.
And some of them don't.
Well, all right.
We don't know.
We don't know?
No, we don't know. The one we made in Kansas, which I referred to before, was about 12 feet across. It took us about 5 minutes. All of the slides that we took of that had these weird light patterns going across them. None of the other slides in the camera were affected. It wasn't something that affected the whole roll of film. Only the pictures of the crop formation. Again, the pictures are on the Opening Minds website. People can take a look. It's an expensive F3 Nikon camera that does not leak light.
Okay.
And you can see these weird... Now, We're not the only ones that have seen this. David Kingston gave a demonstration of this in England at one of the crop circle conferences a couple years ago on his film. He was in a crop circle and just started snapping shots and later developed it, and he saw these weird things. Well, we got them too. Now, what are those weird lights that are coming across the formations that we know it's man-made because we made it? We don't know all the variables. We certainly need more funding to do this research on an extensive scale. But I think it's very important for us to understand what's going on here because, Art, I really suspect we're dealing with a form of advanced technology.
Okay, why isn't advanced it technology. Reasonable to conclude, for example, that the lights that you refer to and that are seen by so many are, in fact, the product of an electrostatic field? In the atmosphere, directly above the created circle, you do have an electrostatic field, and that goes up into the air, into the atmosphere. The only thing that ruins that idea is you said it comes zipping off, you know, or zipping toward the formations from some other direction. If it was always above the crop circle itself, one could surmise that the same field is creating that light.
Yeah, I know it's another possibility. It's the balls of light seem to have their own charge and affect equipment as they zip on by. The crop formation itself seems to have its own energetic charge. Perhaps they attract each other. The balls of light are attracted to the circle. But there's a number of possibilities. You'll recall that pilots have mentioned from time to time, even on this show, that when they've flown over the crop formation that their instruments were affected briefly.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, Busty Taylor reported that 10 years ago.
Okay, implication there, this field, whatever in the hell it is, extends way up.
Yeah, it's what it suggests. And what we really need to do is to narrow down the variables a little bit. But, you know, you don't want to narrow them down too fast. You could be kind of force them into a paradigm to try to make it make sense. And it might be something that you're not expecting. So you have to kind of go carefully just so that you don't eliminate some of the possibilities of what it is. The electrostatic charge is one aspect of it, and it's a fascinating part of it. But what else is going on there? You know, what is generating this? And I suspect, to get back to your question, that you need a latticework, just like a crystal needs a latticework to do the amazing things that crystals do in our watches and television sets and radios and things like that. You need some sort of structure there. And I believe that the wheat stalks or whatever plant material you're working with acts like a latticework because it's planted in a very regular way by the seed driller, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, so.